Good morning, brothers and sisters. Okay, blessed New Year. Okay, but also blessed Chinese New Year as well. Amen. Okay, right or not? Okay, all right. Good to see all of you. You look smart and bright and amazing. Okay, say to your neighbor, you look amazing. Would you do that? Okay, that's great. That's wonderful. All right. Maybe also say to your neighbor on your right, I'm blessed to be seated next to you. On your left, you're privileged to sit next to me. Would you do that? Okay. It'd be great. It'd be wonderful. Okay. For us to do that. Well, this morning, I'm going to speak on the Chinese New Year message. Is it okay? How many of us, we want more freedom and power in living? Can I see your hands? How many more freedom and power in living? Okay. If your hand is not up, God bless you. Never mind. Okay. All right. We're going to read again to my sister. You read wonderfully. Let's read again. Is it okay? Proclaim the word of God, which is, I think, so important for all of us again. Matthew again, chapter 6, verses 9 to 15. Together in the strongest, loudest, most robust First Baptist voices. Together. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we've also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Our Father, we pray you'll take your word. Oh God, make it come alive, speak and challenge us. Father, we pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Now, how many of us, we've been hurt at least once in our life? Hurt at least once in our life. Can I see your hands? Okay? Let's see your hands. Well, if hand is not up, you're almost like Jesus. Okay? Not hurt, never hurt at all. Okay? God bless you. You are just amazing, amazing. I need to learn from you. But friends, you know what? Our human problem is this. Hurts, wounds, and pains is a common, right, reality of life. Something that no one runs away from. Amen? Only 20% amen. God bless you, the rest of you, okay? All right? That's something nobody runs away from, isn't it? All right? That's a reality, okay? And we will continue to be hurt, by the way. After you hear this sermon, you'll be hurt again. Amen? Maybe you're hurt after my sermon, okay? We're going to pray for you. Sir. But friends, you know what? All right? What happens when we are hurt, when we're wounded, when we're in pain? What happens to us? It produces in us, what happens? Anger, bitterness, resentment. And sometimes worse still, a desire, oftentimes to want to retaliate, isn't it? Oftentimes wanting to take revenge, isn't it? Sometimes Chinese New Year is a very uncomfortable time. Sometimes we go back home, very uncomfortable. Why? Because sometimes you find brothers don't talk to each other, sisters don't talk, uncle, auntie don't talk to each other, isn't it? Very, very uncomfortable. Those are some realities of life and living. But sometimes when we are hurt, as I said, okay, we want to take it out against the person who have hurt us, isn't it? How many of you love Jackie Chan and Kung Fu movies? Can I see your hands? How many of you? Wow, God bless you, okay? You know what the ask is? In Moscow, Russia, in a church of 5,000 people, I preach. How many of you know Jackie Chan, love Jackie Chan? All 5,000 hands went up. I preach in Brazil, Sao Paulo, Brazil, church of another 5,000 people. How many of you know Jackie Chan, love Jackie Chan? All the hands went up. Friends, you know, even Russians and Brazilians love Jackie Chan. You Malaysians, you have no choice but to love Jackie Chan. Amen, isn't it? That's the reality of life. Because we know in all kung fu, sword fighting films, what happens? You touch me, I will take it back. Okay, I will take revenge. I will bow chow, I will boast you nicely, isn't it? Take revenge on you. And if I cannot take revenge, what do? I bring all my brothers along to take care of you. And if all my brothers still cannot take care of that, I bring all my uncles to take care of you. Amen, isn't it? And that's why it is not uncommon to see all this power showing, all this revenge taking place, tragically and sadly, isn't it? And that's the reason why, friends, many families, many communities, many nations, right, are fractured totally, completely. And friends, you know, you and I realize this is something that has created huge problems. And problems, friends, not just for a while. Because you and I know, for example, we receive a cut on our hand, a wound on our hand. Within a matter of days, weeks, or a few months, it would heal. Amen? Hey, are you human beings or not? Okay, right now.
Right. We got a cut, but it will heal a matter of days or weeks or months. But friends, can I say, emotional wounds can last for years, if not for generations. You know that? Sometimes you find the parents will tell the kids, don't call that uncle, we've got nothing to do with them. And so one generation goes on to another generation. And what a tragedy, friends, that it has caused so much brokenness, all right, in the lives of so many families, not just Chinese families, particularly more Chinese families. Why? Because in Chinese culture, we're not to forgive. We're not to, okay, yinyang, forgive that person. We're supposed to take it back on that person, take revenge on that person. But friends, it is not just in Chinese culture. It is in every culture I come across around the whole world. And that's a reality. So therefore, friends, the thing is, what is the answer? What is the solution? And praise God, friends, can I say, there is an answer. There's a solution. Okay, but before that, a hurt, friends, is always to do something in the past. Amen? Hello? Is it right now? A hurt is about something that's happened in the past. That's why we are hurt. And what happens when we harbor this? If we harbor this, what happens is the past has imprisoned our present and prevent us from living to the future. You realize that? You realize that? For example, if you are hurt by that person, all right? If you're not forgiven that person, every time you see that person, even think about that person, something not nice happens inside you. Now, not because you got a heart attack, okay? But you know, inside, not nice. So what has happened? That hurt has imprisoned you, all right? And you know what happens? It can prevent you from living to the future. So therefore, if we harbor this hurt, friends, the reality is this, we're living in the past, not even in the present, because our present is arrested, all right? And has kept us from moving to the future. That's the reality. What else? How sad this can be, is it? And a lot of people don't realize, I've got the right to be angry. But friends, you know, in your anger, you find that it has imprisoned you, isn't it? It has kept you from moving on into the future. It has prevented you, friends, from really begin to really exercise the full potential and the gifts that God has given to you like this. How sad, how tragic it is. And therefore, friends, what's the answer? What's the solution for us all? And the wonderful thing is that the answer, the solution is found in the Christian message. All right? Why? Because at the heart of the Christian message is a message of forgiveness. Isn't it? It's a message of forgiveness. And friends, can I say, only the Christian message teaches that. No other faith teaches that. All right? Jesus Christ teaches, not only teaches that, he models it, as I'll show you later on. Okay? All right? At the heart of it, isn't it? Why? Because on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ forgave your sin, my sin, and the sin of the whole world. That's what it is for all of us, isn't it? And therefore, if this is so, as Christians, why is it you and I must forgive? Why is it you and I must forgive? The first reason, because, friends, is a command of Scripture. And all you First Baptist people, you all love the Scripture like crazy. Amen. No, amen. Okay, we need to pray for you now, isn't it? Right now. Isn't it? Okay, and you and I, friends, who take the Word of God seriously, when the Bible says like this in Colossians chapter 3, in verse 13, come, let's read together. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, isn't it? You and I have been objects of God's forgiveness. Amen? Isn't it? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. And because we have been forgiven, friends, the command of Scripture is that you and I must forgive, therefore. And that's why sometimes, friends, can I say, you can't blame the non-Christian because they've never experienced forgiveness. Especially from God, isn't it? And because they've not experienced forgiveness, they say, why should I forgive? But friends, you and I should know better. And all God's people say, it's command of Scripture. We obey it, isn't it? All right? It is not ifs and buts and so on and so forth. We just obey, all right? And live what Word of God commands us to do. Like a second reason, friends, before that, okay, Nelson Mandela, the person who knows best about injury to him. Of course, he fought against the apartheid system in South Africa, as we know. He was in prison all in for 27 years. And out of the 27 years, 16 years was spent in Robben Prison, all right, in Robben's Island, okay? Doris and I, we were there actually standing in his prison cell there in Robben Island. That's a surreal experience. It's crazy. Human beings can do this to one another like this, isn't it? He fought against the apartheid system. Eventually, praise God, he was dismantled and he was elected the first black South African president. And when he was elected, you know what all the blacks say? Because in a country of South Africa, 70% are blacks, only 30% are whites. And all these years before, the whites were in control, ruling harshly, oppressively against the blacks. And when Nelson Mandela is elected as president, you know what the blacks say to him? This is a time for revenge. This is time to take it back on all the whites who have bullied us like crazy, like this. Friends, the blacks just rise up and they can literally push them all into the sea. And there's a lot of sea around South Africa. Amen, isn't it? Nelson Mandela says, this is not a time for revenge. This is a time for forgiveness. That's why he set up the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. That if your whites are willing to come out publicly and confess all your wrongs, you will be forgiven. But you must tell the truth, isn't it? And of all people who knows best about being inflicted all kinds of injuries unfairly, this is what he says to all of us. When a deep injury is done to us, we never heal until we forgive. We never heal until we forgive. That's a reality. And that's why it fits in perfectly with the Word of God. Forgive, isn't it? As God the Father has forgiven us. Amen. The second reason why you and I must forgive, because of the example of Jesus. Jesus sets a perfect example for all of us. Why? Because there in Luke 23 and in verse 34, come, let's read together. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Isn't it? Their friends hanging on the cross. Jesus says, Father, forgive them. You and I know he went to the cross for no fault of his own. Amen, isn't it? Went to the cross for your sin, my sin, the sin of the whole world, isn't it? Not for his own sins. He was there hanging on the cross, and on the cross he prays, Father, forgive them. You know what would you and I pray if we are on a cross like this for no wrongs of our own? I know what I will pray. Father, post you all nicely. Kau kau, okay? Father, punish them all nicely. Kau kau, okay? Really, really strong, solid, isn't it? Why? Because we are unjustly treated, unfairly put on the cross. This is what Jesus went through, friends. So, church, you know what? He is not just someone who teaches about the need for forgiveness, as we read earlier on in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 15 about the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? He doesn't only teach that. Friends, you know, he models it for all of us about what forgiveness is all about. A third reason why you and I must forgive is because otherwise we cannot come to God in prayer. Why? Because you find it in verse 12 of Matthew 6. Oh, come, let's read again to remind ourselves. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Now, we prefer the Luke's version of it. Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Amen? And I like that first song, the Lord's Prayer that was sung earlier on. It said, this is exactly what it says there. And I like it really very, very much. Because that song says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Which comes from the Luke's version, okay, of the Lord's Prayer. Which is important, isn't it? Forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin. In us, friends, you know what? When we come to God in prayer, oftentimes we come to God in prayer, firstly confessing our sins, our wrongs to God. Amen? Hello, are you still there? Amen, isn't it? Right now, all right? When we come to God who is altogether holy and righteous, we know, friends, when we come to him, when we've done things that are wrong, you and I need to confess. Amen, isn't it? Because otherwise, friends, there is no way we can connect with God rightly and properly, isn't it? When we come to God in our wrongs, okay, in our sins, in our compromise whatsoever. So therefore, friends, when we come to God, we confess our sins to God, isn't it? All right? But Jesus also teaches us, friends, it says here that in verse 12, all right, as we confess our sins to God, Jesus says, we have also forgiven those who sin against us. Hello? Are you there? Said it. In other words, friends, if we're unwilling to forgive those who sin against us, we have no right to ask God for forgiveness. That's the two parts of the one same thing. Like this is, until unless we're willing to forgive those who sin against us, we have no right to come to God in prayer. And if this is so, it means we have no right to come to God to pray. In the first place like that, it is that serious, isn't it? Not only, friends, you know, why is it we must forgive? Not only, friends, it is a command of Scripture. Second, it is an example of Jesus. Thirdly, otherwise we have no right to come to God in prayer. That's the fourth reason as to why. The fourth reason is that otherwise we will not know God's forgiveness. Really? Okay, why is this the case? Because this is what Jesus says in verses 14 and 15 of Matthew chapter 6. Come, let's read together. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is that serious, friends, in verse 15. It says that if we're unwilling to forgive those who sin against us, neither will we know the Father's forgiveness. All right? It is that serious, really, isn't it? And that's why I trust, I pray that by now you're convinced, okay, then you and I must forgive, and all God's people say, isn't it? But maybe somebody say, okay, Pastor, okay, I must forgive. But tell me, Pastor, how many times must I forgive? How many times? How many of us willing to forgive people up to 3 times? Can I see your hands? How many of us? Okay. All right, good. How many of us more than 3 times see your hand? More than 3 times. Wow, God bless you. White Kong and many of you, okay? All right, the rest of you, what happens? Not willing to forgive people 1 time, is that right? Goodness, isn't it? All right. Now, friends, can I say, it is not just your struggle and my struggle as Christians, even as Christians. Not only your struggle and my struggle. It is equally, friends, can I say, the struggle of Apostle Peter. As to how many times, right, he must forgive. Well, here in Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22, Apostle Peter came to Jesus and says to Jesus like this, okay, come, let's read together. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times, Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. So it's not 7, but 77. What does 77 mean? When Jesus tells us to forgive people 77 times, what does he mean? Now, Jesus does not mean this. Okay, he does not mean this. Hear me carefully. When someone sins against you, you say to the guy, you watch out. You got 76 times left, okay? And when he sins at you a second time, say, you watch out, you got 75 times left. Okay? Now, when Jesus says to forgive 77 times, it is not to keep a score. It is not to keep a score as to how many times, okay, right, someone has sinned against you. For example, how many of you have confessed to God 77 times of your sins? Can I see your hands? Okay, so more than 77 times. Can I see him? More than 7. Oh, my goodness, Arnold, your church full of sinners here. Okay, we need to pray for First Baptist Church. But don't worry, my hand is also up. It's okay. Yeah, we confess to God, isn't it? Again and again. Now, have you and I ever heard God speaking to us from heaven one day when we confess, hey, my son, today, 77, bo liao, finish already. All right? Your quota is over. From tomorrow onwards, no more forgiveness. God doesn't say this to us like this. Never, isn't it? What is he trying to say when Jesus forgives 77? Now, you and I know, friends, we are well taught in Scripture. 7, as we know from Scripture, is a perfect number. Amen? It's a perfect number. 7 is. But what was 77? 77 means what? It goes on and on and on and on again and again. In other words, it is endless. All right? It is countless. And that's what the Father does to all of us when we confess our sins to Him, isn't it? God never keeps a score. As, of course, in our confession, we must be serious, we must be humble, we must really, really be very honest before God. Amen? But sometimes, friends, in spite of all that we're trying to do, to seek not to do wrong, sometimes we still do wrong. Got or not? Okay, only 5% are good people. The rest of you, okay, we pray for you. But friends, that's the reality, isn't it? Even though we try to do right, sometimes we do wrong. Like, for example, driving, isn't it? You know you want to be a very, very good, okay, Malaysian driver, unlike all other Malaysian drivers. Sometimes we also do wrong, right or not? How many of us, we're beaten traffic lights? Can I see your hands? Okay, be honest, in church cannot tell lies. Can I see? How many of us, we're beaten traffic lights? Okay, God bless you. First row hands also up. God bless you all. Listen, I have beaten traffic lights. As I came to this traffic junction in PJ area, all right, what happens was that the traffic light turned amber. I thought I can make it. Like amber can make it. You know what amber means? Amber means give it a go. So as I cross over, just turns too fast. It turns red. All right? And I cross over. You know what? The policeman will jump on the motorbike, follow me. Okay. flagged me to the side. I said, sorry, tapet, I'm so sorry. Yeah, I shouldn't have done that. I'm so sorry. Okay, alright. Do whatever that is right. Okay, or whatever it is. Probably if you issue someone, please go ahead and do that. I said, by the way, I'm a pastor. You're a pastor. You're a pastor. I said, yeah, I'm a pastor. Okay, I'm on the way rushing to another appointment. So I'm sorry. Almost wanted to come to First Baptist Church. Just some. Okay, you are a pastor. My goodness, a pastor. Okay, go, pastor, go. Friends, it's good to be a pastor. Isn't it? I hope there's not an excuse, isn't it, for us to do wrong. But sometimes we try to do things. Another example, how many of you pray, okay, when you come to shopping mall, you pray for parking lots. Can I see your hands? How many of you? Be honest. My goodness. Your church is serious church here. You see? But sometimes, you know, in a whole parking lot in a shopping mall, sometimes, you know what, there's only one parking lot available. Right, and 20 cars circulating round and round and round in Empire Park, Empire here, like that kind of thing like this. And you know, out of the 20 circling around, probably 5 are Christians, and all 5 are praying to God for parking. Poor God, he is all confused. Which one should I answer? Hey, come on, give God a break. Isn't it? All right, God has got more bigger problems to attend to, like the virus in Wuhan, okay, and the fires in Australia and so forth. Is it right? But sometimes you see what happens is that in spite of the fact we're going to do things that are right, sometimes we do wrong, isn't it? Okay, and we come, we confess to God, we ask for forgiveness, and God will forgive us, isn't it? In us, friends, what is it trying to tell you and I? Okay, and Martin Luther King Jr. has these amazing things to say to all of us because he himself went through all kinds of infliction to his own life when he stood against and fought against civil rights movement, isn't it? All right? For civil rights, okay, thing in United States of America. And this is what Martin Luther King says. Forgiveness is not an occasional act. It is a permanent attitude. All right? It is a permanent attitude. In other words, friends, you know what? You and I need to forgive again and again and again. It is hard. It is difficult. All right? For example, DMC will run a drug rehab center. All right? Because something like close to 60 boys, and some of these are not young anymore. All right? They are in their 50s, okay? And so on and so forth. And you and I know, coming from that kind of background, and many times you find that what happens is that they have done all kinds of things to get money, okay, to fill their drug habit, isn't it? And as a result, they've been rejected, especially rejected by their parents, turned up because they have deceived and lied their parents and everybody else around. Okay? And imagine how painful would be the hearts of the parents, isn't it? Right? For years going through like this. But praise to God, these people coming to drug rehab center got wonderfully saved. And we told them, the first thing you must do is be reconciled to your parents. All right? And when you meet your parents, it's hard. My son has betrayed me, lied to me, cheated me, all these. Why should I forgive? Isn't it? You can't blame the parents, especially not Christians. And this way we help them through, eventually come to the place of reconciliation and restoration in the lives of relationship. And praise be to God, some of these parents come to faith in Christ in a process like this, isn't it? And that's what you and I must do, friends. That's only in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is forgiveness, there is healing, there is wholeness for all of us. Amen. So forgiveness is not just an occasional act. It is a permanent attitude, something that is hard and difficult. But friends, by the grace of God, he will enable us to do that. Amen? Isn't it? In other words, friends, you know, more importantly, what happens to me when I forgive? Forgiveness, friends, you know, is a choice. God will never force us to forgive. You know that? God will never say to us, come on, my son, you are such a senior, such an old Christian. How can you have unforgiveness? He will never do that. He leaves it to you and me to decide whether to forgive or not to forgive. That's a reality, friends. He will never force us. He leaves it to us to decide. But friends, the wonderful thing is when I choose to decide to forgive, when I choose to forgive, what happens to me? Firstly, friends, it sets me free. Not only, friends, it sets me free. Secondly, friends, it sets the other person free. What do I mean? Let me try to explain, okay? To try to explain what I mean like this. You see, what happens is, if we don't forgive that person, Every time you see that person, even think about that person, as I said, something not nice happens inside you. Am I right or not? What does it show? It shows that you're not free. You're not free, isn't it? Every time you see that guy, think about that guy. Something not nice happens. You're not free. Not only you're not free, friends, because if you're not forgiving that person, you're actually saying to that person in your heart, my friend, I'm not prepared to let you go. We got a score to settle. Until this score is settled, I'm not prepared to let you go. So what have I done? I've held on to that person and I'm imprisoning that person in the cage of my heart. That's what we're actually doing, isn't it? We are holding on to that person and imprisoning that person in the cage of our heart. So what happens? One unforgiveness, friends, one unforgiveness results in two prisoners. You're not free. That guy is not free. And friends, can I say, there are more prisoners walking the streets of Kuala Lumpur than all the prisoners in Sungai Buloh prison put together. I almost wanted to say Pudu prison put together. No more Pudu prison now. Because of people like Wai Kiong and Arnold, okay, put all these guys out of Pudu. Isn't it? There are tons of people. They look free. They walk free in the streets of Kuala Lumpur. But if they harbor unforgiveness, and I guarantee you, there are thousands, if not tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people harboring this hurt and wound in their hearts. They walk the streets of Kuala Lumpur. They look free. They walk free. But if honest with themselves, they are not free. In other words, friends, you know, one unforgiveness results in two prisoners. That's a scary thing. And that's why sometimes there are so many families in prison. So many families totally locked in, all right, and living only their past, not even the present and the future. It's all taken away from them, tragically and sadly, isn't it? Not sure I told you this story. In the church I preached in, at the end, a senior lady came up for prayer together with a grown-up daughter. And the lady said, Pastor, pray for my husband, her father. Sure, of course I will. I said, she said, my husband is such an angry man. I said, I'm so sorry to hear about it. Can you pray? I said, why don't you take my sermon tape I just preached? Get hold of the tape I just preached. Okay, take it back and let your husband listen. I think it will help him. You know what she said to me? If I take it back, let my husband listen, he will kill me. Wow, there are also murderers at home. There are also terrorists at home. Friends, can I tell you this? There are terrorists of all ages at home. Some little boys are terrorizing their parents. Hello? So terrorists are not just out there. Terrorists could be in our home. Could be little ones in our homes. No, all your perfect children. God bless you all here in First Baptist Church. But this man don't realize, friends, in harboring that anger, it is imprisoning him. It is robbing him. It is keeping him from living in joy, in peace, and in love. For many years, so he refused to come to church. You can. If you do that, you don't realize. You think you got the right to be angry, but you don't realize you're not smart. Hello? Are you there, sir? Not smart at all. And there are a lot of unsmart people running all over the world from all kinds of cultures. Really, tragically. For example, I was preaching this big church in Singapore. At the end, when I make an altar call, one orang putih guy, Westerner put up his hand right in the front. All right, he was actually executive pastor of the church. Put up a hand. I was surprised. I said, how can we put up? I thought you should know better. Put up a hand for prayer. At the end, we met up. I said, what happened, my friend? He said, you know what? My brother, he was then about 60 years old. My brother and my father, they have not been talking to each other for years. For years. And I put my hand up to stand on behalf of my brother, asking God in mercy and grace to intervene and to break through and to set him free as much as also setting my father free. You know, this can happen like that, isn't it? And what a tragedy. The families are broken up like this from all cultures and traditions and backgrounds, isn't it? But a wonderful thing is this, friends, not just why we must forgive, how many times we must forgive, the wonderful what happens when we forgive, The first thing happens, it sets me free. When I choose to forgive that person, it's not only that it sets me free, it sets the other person free, because I want to say to them, I'm tired of holding you on, I want to let you go. And in letting that person go, friends, you know what? You let yourself go. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? About the power of forgiveness. It frees us to living. It frees us for living, isn't it? Like this. Not only, friends, you know, when I choose to forgive, it sets me free. It sets the other person free. That there's a third reason as to why. The third reason, that is healing. All right? Why? Because in James chapter 5, verse 16, it tells us like this. Come, let's read together. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. When we confess, we pray. God amazingly brings healing to us in our lives, isn't it? Like sometimes, for example, as husband and wife, sometimes we've got differences, we've got conflicts, God or not? Hey, God or not? God, huh? God, okay. Unless you're very unusual, probably abnormal couples, isn't it? Right now, we have, isn't it? All right? Isn't it? Differences, conflicts, sometimes quarrels. But when we humble ourselves and come before God and maybe kneel before God, humble ourselves, confess our sins to each other, as we confess to God, ask God to forgive us ourselves, what happens at the end when you get up? You feel closer to each other. Amen? Hey, right now, you just feel closer to each other than before. And that's what it is. And friends, can I say, this is the privilege of you and I as Christians, because you and I as Christians can come to God and humble ourselves before God as we confess our sins and to God. God in mercy releases His grace upon our lives and bind us closer than before, isn't it? Then we begin to realize how foolish and how stubborn and proud I was to hold on, all right, against my wife, against my husband. It is like the whole group of CEOs, I mean, business leaders I'm involved in mentoring. All right? They're all in the 50s, 60s, a few in their 70s in terms of ages. What happens is, and sometimes they like to say, you know, Pastor Dale, our senior citizens group, our senior citizens club, okay? They like to say, some of us, well, we belong to the 5 series, or the BMW 5 series. Some of us belong to the 6 series. Many of us belong to the 7 series. But you know what? We got also 8 and 9 series also got into UMC. I tell them, you know, I belong to the 3 series. Amen, like many of you. Right. And so what happens, this guy is a CEO of a company, you know, that he shared with us very honest. Sometimes me and my wife, we have conflicts, quarrel, that kind of thing. You know, I'm CEO, I must win. Hello? CEOs? I'm CEO, I must win. Whatever conflict, I must win against my wife. Then he sat down and thought about it. Not very clever. She is my wife. I said, why do I fight against her like this? Am I right? Okay? I give you this other example. This church in Singapore, I preached in. Okay? And at the end, a number of people line up to see me. And this guy who saw me at the end, with tears in his eyes, said to me, Pastor Daniel, thank you for your message. All right? Thank you for your message with tears in his eyes. And he said to me, Pastor, tomorrow morning, I want to go to my lawyer's office and tell my lawyer, would you tear up the divorce papers I have instituted against my wife? Just tear it up. No interest to pursue anymore. I was so touched by what he said, so moved by it. I said, my friend, thank you so much for what you have just said. I thank God for your humility. But more than humility, my friend, I want to pray for you for courage, because it requires courage to carry it through. Amen. So I prayed for him. Thank God for humility. I prayed for courage for him, that whatever he says today, tomorrow morning, first thing in the morning, he will do it in a lawyer's office. You know, friends, at the end, the senior pastor took me to his car to go for lunch. I saw him walking towards his own car. And you know what? He drives a very nice car, all right. Friends, driving a nice car is no indication things are okay on the inside. Amen? Having a high position is no indication things are okay on the inside. Sometimes living in a big house is no indication things are okay on the inside. See, friends, sometimes the problem living in a big house is this. We can hide from each other in the many rooms we have got. Hello? So it's good to live in a small apartment. Amen? I say, then you can't hide from each other. You've got to face each other. Is that right? No. And that's the reality, friends. How long can we hide? How long can we run away? And friends, can I say, some people are running away for years. For years. Hurt by fellow Christian. Refuse to come to the First Baptist Church. All right? And sometimes, not just for weeks, for months, for years. How sad. He doesn't realize, or she doesn't realize. That thing has to be dealt with, confronted, resolved properly, isn't it? And so important, isn't it, for you and I to know that. Right now. Well, friends, you know, sometimes people say, Pastor, you don't understand. You don't understand how deeply I was hurt. You don't understand at all. And sometimes we say to God, but Lord, it has been hard to forgive. Really hard, because the wound, the injury is so deep. You know, when people say to me like this, you don't understand, Pastor, you know, the wound is so deep, it's impossible to forgive. You know what I do? I say, you know what, you don't mind? Let me take you to the foot of the cross. Come with me to the foot of the cross. Look at Jesus. Look at his suffering on the cross. Is your pain, my pain, equal to his pain? Isn't it? The pain that Jesus went through on the cross for your sin, my sin, that excruciating pain is no comparison with whatever pains we go through in life. Amen, isn't it? So when people say, Pastor, I can't, take the person to the cross. Let's look at Jesus. What he did for you, for me, he did for the whole world. But friends, sometimes you hear this say, all right, to you, hey, come on, forgive and forget. How many hear about this? How many heard about this? Your friend, hey, come on, forgive and forget. Isn't it very common? This is said to us. Like, friends, can I say, that's unbiblical. Now, how many of you have really forgiven someone who had wronged you? You have really forgiven. But you still remember today. Can I see your hands? How many of you? See your hands? Oh, so many. You're terrible people here. Terrible people. Still remember. How can? Friends, can I say, it's perfectly all right. Really. So people who teach about forgive, forget, they're unbiblical. They're not a good. Why? Because let me prove you very simply. Let me prove to you very simply. If we say forgive and forget, you and I should not read the Bible at all. Why? Because in the Bible, it is tons of sins of God's people. Amen? So if we're supposed to forget, we shouldn't be reading it because it contains tons of sins of God's people, isn't it? What is the purpose of the wrongs of the sins of God's people are recorded in Scripture for all of us? What's the purpose of it all? Okay, let me turn with you. All right, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And this is what you notice when the Apostle Paul tells us like this. One Corinthians 10 verse 11. Paul writes like this. These things happen to them as examples. All the wrongs, all the sins, okay, that has happened in Scripture. These things happen to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the fulfillment ages has come. See, all the wrongs that the people of God committed, some of them have been recorded in Scripture for us. What is the purpose of it? To warn you and me not to repeat the same mistakes. Hello, are you there, isn't it? And that's the amazing beauty and power of Scripture, that it contains tons of sins of God's people, isn't it? What is the purpose of it? Not to shame them, not to condemn them, not to destroy them, but as a reminder and a warning to all of us that we don't repeat the same mistakes. Hello, are you there, isn't it? And as friends, you know what? You and I got to learn from all the broken noses of the people of God in the Bible and keep our one single only nose. Hello? Isn't it? Keep our one nice nose and learn from all the broken noses in the Bible. That's the purpose of it all, isn't it? And that's why this book is such a powerful book. This book's the most important book in the whole world. So dear friends, you and I should read less of her world, his world, whatever other worlds. Amen? Isn't it? Here. In all of these is encapsulated all the wisdom and insights of the people of the world, isn't it? That you can learn from and enrich ourselves in a process like this. So friends, it is not forgive and forget. In fact, there is one senior pastor, Big Hills Church, up north. I was teaching, okay, a course on leadership, actually Bible College of Malaysia. And he signed up amongst various other pastors. And therefore, pastoring for more than 30 years. I said, why do you sign up? Because you all should be teaching, not me teaching you all. But because he said, Pastor, because you're teaching, that's why we come. And these are pastors of big churches, have been pastoring me for over 30 years. Great pastors, I know them. Okay? And one of them at the end came up to him, Pastor Daniel, thank you what you just said about forgiveness. Because for the last 30 years, I struggle like crazy. I remember the wrongs of the person who have done wrong to me. I have really forgiven that person. But I cannot take it from my mind. I told him, you terrible, sinful pastor. How can you do that? No, no. He said, thank you so much. For the first time, I'm liberated. For the first time, I'm liberated. It is not forgive and forget. But what is it, friend? It is forgive and forbear. And it is to forbear in love. So not forgive and forget, but forgive and forbear. It is to forbear in love. And this is exactly, friends, what Paul writes to us, Ephesians 4, verse 2. Come, let's read together. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Forbearing one another in love, is it? So it's forgive and forbear. Now, when we forbear, when the Bible says forbear, it is forbearance and love. Okay, so it is not to forbear, it's to tahan that guy. What to do? I have to tahan that guy until he dies or I die, then his thing is over. That's not what it means, is it? It's to forbear in love. In us, friends, you know what? Okay, it's not to tahan that guy. It is even to reach out to that guy, to love that guy in spite of whatever has happened. You and I can only do that provided we're really forgiven. Amen. You and I can really do that, provided we have really forgiven. And therefore, friends, the thing is this. What is a test that I have really forgiven that person? What is a true test that I have forgiven? Is that sometimes, you know, you hurt that person so badly. You really deeply hurt that person. That person, hey, it's okay, John, forgiven, forgiven. And that guy says so lightly. You wonder to yourself, really true or not? He says so lightly, but you hurt him so deeply. So the thing is this, friends. What is a test that you have really forgiven that person? No matter how deep the hurt, you say you're forgiven. What is the true test you've really forgiven? Okay, let me try to explain. What is a test? The test is this. Every time you see that person or you think about the incident, is there any more pain in your heart? Is there any more pain in your heart? If there is a slight bit of pain still, you have not dealt with it completely. It has not been totally dealt with. If there's a slight pain still in your heart. So the test is, a pain in your heart. And there's still slight pain. You've got to deal with it. How do you deal with it? Go up to the person and say to the person, my friend, I'm so sorry. I thought I'd forgiven you. But you know what? Every time I see you think of the incident, there's still pain in my heart. Will you please forgive me for harboring that pain still in my heart? Please forgive me as I choose likewise to forgive you. Friends, you and I have got to confront it and deal with it head on before there can be real, true, proper resolution that takes place. Amen. Until unless that takes place, there will not be. Let me close with this. This great man of God in Singapore by the name of Dr. Benjamin Chew, of course, he has passed away many years now. Highly respected man as a medical doctor. Okay. In fact, when President Benjamin Sheares, a former president of Singapore, died, it was Dr. Benjamin Chew who conducted his funeral. That shows the respect that Dr. Benjamin Chew in Singapore. Okay. And what happens was a highly respected man. I had the privilege of working with him together in Evangelical Fellowship Asia when I was General Secretary of the NECF. Okay. Wonderful man of God. You see, when the Japanese invaded Malaya and Singapore, he was their medical doctor, all right? And he was pulled in by the Japanese to take care of wounded Japanese soldiers in Singapore, all right? You know what he was thinking and saying in his heart? These rascals who are here, these terrible people who are here invading our country and bullying us, not bullying, killing us all like crazy like this, as we all know, and many, many, okay, have been killed, particularly Chinese. And he coming from a Chinese background, when he sees, okay, Japanese, how they dealt with, okay, the Singaporeans, the Chinese, that kind of thing, and the brutality they went through exterminating these people, he was filled with big bitterness and hatred in his heart. But he was dragged in by the Japanese to attend to Japanese soldiers. He had no choice, otherwise he'll be dead as well, isn't it? So he harbored this in his heart. Even as a Christian, as a fine Christian leader. You know what happens in the early 70s when the delegation from Japan came to Singapore and came before the people of Singapore to ask for forgiveness. You know what Dr. Benjamin Chiu did? He went up to them and he said to them, this was what happened during the Second World War. I knew I'd come to ask for forgiveness from all of you. But you know what? To this very day, I've harbored anger against you, bitterness, resentment against you all. And he, in front of them, himself confessed his wrong, his sin, his hatred, his anger, his bitterness, the wound in his heart. And for the first time, he was set free. That's the way to deal with friends. Until unless we're willing to. Otherwise, there is no resolution. There is no healing. There is no wholeness. We're in prison. We don't move on in life. And I believe, friends, this is so important for you and I to know from today onwards, that you and I can live with greater freedom and power more and more in the coming days. But this can only take place provided we will face head on with this kind of wounds, injury, hatred, resentment, bitterness, anger in our hearts. Because otherwise, we are robbed of our future and imprisoned in our present because of the wounds and hurts and pains in our lives. Let us pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to first extend an invitation for those of us who have yet to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You are here maybe at the invitation of a friend or relative, or you just wandered in. Or maybe you've been coming here for a number of times now, but you've not taken the step of faith to trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the downstairs up in the balcony. I want to extend this invitation to you. All right, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you'd like to say yes to Jesus, which is very simply, very, very simply, acknowledging we are a sinner. I'm a sinner. All of us are sinners. Believing, secondly, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. Thirdly, asking to forgive me of my sin. And then fourthly, inviting him into my life as Lord and Savior. When we take that step of faith, my friend, you become a child of God. You become a Christian. And I assure you, my friend, you're in for a wonderful journey of your life with Jesus. Not that no problems or difficulties, but he will be there sustaining, keeping, enabling, empowering you as you move on in your life. So heads bowed, eyes closed if you'd like to. Afterwards, at a count of three, wherever you're seated, would you raise up your hand? I want to pray for you. Wherever you're seated, downstairs, up in the balcony, at a count of three, raise up your hand. I want to pray for you. Are you ready? One, two, and three. Is anyone? Yes, thank you. Thank you. Yes. Yes, thank you. Several hands. Yes. Anybody else? Yes, thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, thank you. Several hands. Up in the gallery, a balcony as well. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Now, those who raise up, would you say after me this prayer to trust in Christ as Lord and Savior? Those who say after me aloud, and church, can I ask you to join in to say together with these people aloud to encourage these people? So, especially those who raise their hands, say to me aloud, church, join in together. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank and I praise you for your love for me. Lord Jesus Christ, I want to confess that I'm a sinner. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. Please forgive me of my sins. Come right now into my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. Take control of my life. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and your power, and enable me to live as a Christian, as a child of yours, from today onwards. Give me your love, your peace, your joy, and your hope. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, seal it deep in every heart, every life who has prayed this prayer. Bring, Father, I pray, this new birth and new life to pass from today onwards. And lead them deeper, higher, and stronger in you. Continue to bring them to come here at First Baptist Church, so they can be discipled, so they can grow strong, be built up, so that they in turn will reach out to share the wonderful good news of Jesus and bring many more to experience forgiveness of sins that is available in Jesus, so that we can in turn in the process forgive those who sin against us. So bless his precious ones, Father, I pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I want to extend one more invitation, which is those of us who have been hurt, have been wounded, for whatever reason, there's hurt and wound in your heart. Sometimes only you know. Sometimes even your spouse don't know. I want to pray for you, friends, because it's a very precious moment. Very, very precious moment. The wounds and pains and hurts producing anger, bitterness, resentment, hatred, and a desire for revenge. Friends, I believe God wants us to deal with it today. So that we walk from this place never the same again. So who hurts, wounds and pains and whatever else. Friends, at a count of three, where we're seated down, says up, says, I want to pray for you. All right. At a count, raise up a hand, I want to pray for you. Okay. Wherever you are, any wound and pain, whatever. And some of these, I sense, could have been there for years. Some of these could be when you're even childhood. You still harbor this in your heart. You're not forgotten it. I want to pray for your friends. So wherever you're seated, okay, would you raise up a hand? One, two, three. Can I see your hand raise up? Thank you. Thank you. Yes, many hands. Keep it up. Let me pray for you, right? Keep it up. Right? There is no shame and shyness. We're in a family together. All right? We all need the grace of God. Father, I bring to you all these, my precious brothers and sisters. Lord, you know, Father, oh God, the wounds and pains, oh God, in the lives of these precious people. Spirit of God, I pray you release your healing grace upon them. And Lord, I pray that you enable these people to release forgiveness to whoever might have hurt them, oh God, in the past. They choose, Father, I pray, this day to release forgiveness to these people. And Lord, I pray you bring healing right now to their lives. I take authority in Jesus. I uproot every wound and pain and hurt and anger and bitterness. I take authority, I uproot and I loosen this rope from all these, my precious brothers and sisters. Set them all free, Father, I pray today in Jesus' name. And release, oh God, I pray, Father, your healing grace upon them. Release right now, Father, I pray, your healing. Let the balm of Gilead, oh God, I pray, be applied in the heart and life of every person here this morning. Oh God, I pray, and restore back to them the joy of salvation. Oh God, enable them to walk in freedom, in peace and joy. And could enable them likewise to forgive and to forgive again and again. It will be a journey. It will continue to be one, Father, I pray. Oh God, a permanent attitude that we will exercise and show because of the forgiveness you yourself, Heavenly Father, showed to us in the first place. That you have forgiven us again and will continue to do so. Help us likewise to do the same, Father, I pray. So that we be set free. We walk in joy, in peace. We will celebrate life forever and ever, Father, I pray. So bless all these precious ones, oh God, I pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, God's wonderful people say, amen, amen, amen.